Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch Two Pirates, one starring Walter Matthau and directed by Roman Polanski. The other one is from 2014 and was a big hit in China, which means no one heard about it over here. Oh, today's directing the only one looking. Get cut, get stuffed, and get shot. This is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow. Pirates so brave on the seven seas.
What?
A mystical quest to the island. Welcome to the There Can Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the exact title. They decide to release it, and guess what? We're going to make one of them change their title. No more on this two-title thing. My name is Robert Rowe, and joining me today is...
Harry No Mega Prime Davis. I'm getting out. Shiver my timbers.
You almost sound like a Transformer the way you're doing it. I'm going to fight you, Optimus Prime.
Yeah, Decepticon all the way, huh?
Well, yeah, that's... I imagine you would turn into like would you be the cassettes or would you be the boombox
Yeah, I'd be Soundwave.
Okay,
I'd be Soundwave.
That always seemed like I totally understand you want to go with non-lethal weapons, especially when your leader is a gun and you're trying to sell these to kids. Like like nowadays, you couldn't have that happen. It's like, hey, this kid this thing transforms into a gun, which means your kid will be expelled from any school by bringing this. Even untransformed.
Well, that's what they did. They realized, like, you know, we made Megatron gun in the 80s, which is not politically correct. So they changed him to a tank now. So he must
Well, at least it made him something that is of accurate size. He actually had to have someone shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, the other things turned into, like airplanes. Yeah. Nobody had to fly those things. They just, like, flew on their own. He could shoot himself. That's not a problem. He has, like, a safety on for himself. That's weird. I don't know. Yeah. Everything... I understand the idea of selling kids toys. It's just the marketing department behind that. I think they just failed miserably on that. I would have totally had them transform into cooler things, but that's just me.
Yeah, it was kids. They wasn't worrying about it.
They were bad guys. They should transform into a meth lab and then explode.
Blue ice.
Yeah. All right, so both of these pirate films are not exactly the easiest to find. This was something on our list for a while. The Roman Polanski one, I think, is not even available on DVD because the only outlet for it is YouTube. The only thing that I've seen it. It came out in 1985. It's kind of like a weird comedy, so it's it's a precursor to the Pirates of the Caribbean films, but the same sort of type of film. It definitely felt like one of those things that they were trying to give Roman Polanski another avenue to try something in, especially since he's not, at this point, as right now, he is not allowed in the U.S. No. Well, he is allowed, but he's allowed in the U.S.
No, he's allowed. Area. He's allowed to come back now. Come on back, Roman. He's negotiating his deal right now.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
But I'm always interested in Pirates movie because Pirates of the Caribbean kind of like took over the genre. Like, that's like the... what you shoot for now, but I actually was one of the few people that actually liked the Cutthroat Island. You know, I actually liked it.
I'm not choking off of you saying that. I just, something went down my throat.
No problem. Hey, Robert, we ain't supposed to talk about
that. Man, Rennie Harlan is a shitty director. He's one of those dudes. We watched one of his recently. It was that Jackie Chan, Johnny Knoxville film that I put on the background whenever, Poker was going on.
Yeah, that was
like, the last one he did.
I didn't even watch it. I just watched the first 10 minutes, and I immediately busted this to get out of here.
It's weird they keep throwing that dude money, but it's funny to hear about his origin story. There's, like, a 5-hour documentary about the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Mm-hmm.
So they cover all the Nightmare on Elm Street films. He directed the fourth one. And he basically was able to get himself into the director's chair by going to the studio every day and just saying, I can do this. Like, he was just incredibly persistent. And it worked for him. It's the same thing that happened with, like, if you've seen the Cannon documentary, same thing happened with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He ran up into the guy and did a roundhouse heel kick.
Right.
Like, 2 inches from the guy's face, and he was like, okay.
I do this to women every time. When they say they want to marry me, I say, no, I kick you in the face. Then I marry them anyway.
That was good.
I am Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That was a good Pepe Le Pew accent.
Well, this is as close as I can do, but I could try, like, the one that he did for Hard Target, the first one, where he slaps on that Cajun accent because he is being haunted. I am in the heart of New Orleans. It's a hoarder.
Give me some Ray Beans. I can't even. I'm from New Orleans. I can't even do a fucking Cajun
accent. Mes amis, you got to do some French language. You got to do French Pierrot. You got to do that. A po' boy.
All I got to say is Le Bon Tarouet.
Yeah, it's close enough.
All right.
All right, so the first one we'll probably watch is the Roman Polanski one because it's the one that I would say if you've heard of any of these films, this is the one that you might have heard of. Just like if you're one of those completists who really like Polanski films. I don't. I think he's, I'm not saying overrated, but he's definitely one of those people that I don't like, my ears don't perk up when I hear that he's got a new film out.
I don't think, I mean, I know The Piano is probably his more known about work, but... Mm-hmm.
The Pianist. He did not do The Piano. Piano is that one where Harvey Keitel showed his dong. He's like, I'm so awesome. And then that chick that became Rogue won an Oscar for. I can't remember her
Annie
name.
Annie Paquin.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
So
she was a little girl. Okay, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, that's The Piano. The Pianist is the one with Adrian Brody, and he's during World War II, and everybody was like, bring him back! Bring him back! And we're like, the 13-year-old. Yeah. I mean, I can't even finish it. It's kind of gross, dude.
Well, what was his other works? Because that's
the Chinatown's thing. The one that he's mainly known for. That's the
Jake Nicholson, huh?
Yeah. I don't think he did the two Jakes, but that's like his watershed moment. Like he's even in it for a little bit. Like he's just one of those people that like kind of rode that success for a while.
Isn't he the one that, like, I never watched it, but by me watching little bits and pieces of stuff around, didn't he the one who actually cut Jack Nicholson's nose?
Yeah, he's the one that said, hey, you're being a little nosy here. You know what we do to people that are nosy? He also did Frantic, which starred Harrison Ford. That was one. I think that might have been the first one he did. One of the first ones he did overseas. I don't know if this one actually counted in the overseas or not. But fuck, it's on the sea. Who cares?
Okay.
I'm not 100%. It was made in '85, so it's not like it was anything that's new.
And Walter Mata, I really didn't become a fan of his until Grumpy Old Man and Dennis the Menace. Like I never paid attention to him. What's funny is his most famous work, The Odd Couple. I watched the TV series so much that when I found out that Walter Mata was in the movie adaptation of The Odd Couple, I was like, really? I never went and watched it because I was like, oh, well.
Right. Yeah, he was also in The Bad News Bears. I don't know if you ever watched that one, the first one.
No, I did, but I don't remember him. Like, I really.
He's a coach.
I know he's a coach, but I didn't like associate that as being Walter. Because like I said, when I first remember Walter Mata, I remember him as an old man.
Right. Well, that's kind of all he is. There's his best film, or at least my favorite film of his. Okay, so he also did Rosemary's Baby, that Roman Polanski.
Okay.
He did Ghost Rider, he did, I'm looking at the stuff that he made early.
Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. Ghost Writer.
Okay.
So close. Can we do a podcast based off of mishearing what we thought a title was? Because that'd be awesome.
That'd be the best of.
Oh, yeah. So he did Repulsion, Macbeth, he did The Tenants. I'm just looking at the list of films that you might have heard of. Carnage. Carnage was something that came out overseas. Ninth Gate. You remember that one with Johnny Depp? Where he was finding that book that turned up. It's okay. It's not a great film. Like all these films. So Pirates is on this list. It's in that middling of things that he made between the good stuff and then the stuff he had to do overseas. And then he got good again. And they wanted to give him an Oscar.
So basically you would say that
it got a 6. Like, it's got a 6.1.
He's more famous for being infamous,
I think for a lot of people, yeah. I'd be surprised if people knew his work. Like, they could name, like, 4 films.
Yeah, like, I know.
We're going to that thing over the Bulldog tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, we'll bring up the Hatfield. Hatfield will probably be able to name 4 films that Roman Polanski has directed.
Okay.
But I'd ask other people, find out if they could name 4 other films.
Because I know the name Roman Polanski, but just like how you said here, I did not realize he did Chinatown. The only thing I can remember, and I know he did the one with Adrian Brody, but I got the name wrong.
Right.
So that just goes to show you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, so it's a pretty basic title. I know he's just, like, he's the main pirate. It's The Adventures of Pirate Captain Red and His First Mate Frog. That's all it is.
First Mate Frog.
Yeah, that's his name, Frog.
Captain Red and Frog.
Yep. We just finished watching Bring It On, which also had a captain named Big Red. So this is pretty close.
Uh-huh.
And this will be just like the other.
And the other team was a green team. The Clovers, yeah, wore green. So
So that is the color of a frog. Yeah. This whole thing is remaking Pirates. It's better than my theory that came out for Bring It On. Did I tell you my theory about that?
No.
Like the poster in the background. They had a poster of I want to say Jennifer Capriati, but that's incorrect. She is. The figure skater that got hit by
Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan. Yeah, there was a picture of Nancy Kerrigan on the wall of Kirsten Dunst's bedroom, and it's one of those things that you might not really care or notice. Like they're just decorating the bedroom. I say that's foreshadowing what's going to happen in that movie because she got Nancy Kerrigan's known for getting hit in the ankle, and she went to the Olympics on a technicality because she didn't win her event. And when she got there, she finished second. Which is exactly what happened in that movie. So they got there in a technicality and finished second. So it's one of those things when you see it, you're like, oh, okay, afterwards. Like, I seriously doubt anybody caught it going in.
But a lot of movies, you know what? I'm starting to pick up on that because I think you did talk to me about that. A lot of movies do foreshadow their results if you just pay attention to the beginning.
Well, there's a whole Cracked article that talks about if you only knew the other language in that they don't have any subtitles for. And like, for It... If you've not it the thing, excuse me, the thing with Kurt Russell,
mm-hmm.
there are people yelling at Kurt Russell at the beginning, but I think they're yelling in Russian and he doesn't know Russian. But the whole time he's like, "Hey, stay away from that dog. He's weird." You know, that's basically what they're saying the whole time. Like he's an alien dog or whatever. He's doing weird shit. Like he's eating everybody. Stay away from it. And he's like, "Yeah, whatever. I don't know what you guys are saying." So you're yelling at this poor dog.
Uh-huh.
And if we see a dog and someone's yelling at it, we'd be like, we take the dog's side immediately. 99 times out of 100.
Okay.
Right? There might be that one chance where where a dog has a knife in his mouth and he's coming right at you or something. And you're like, okay, fine, you win, the dog's bad. But every other time someone's yelling at a dog, it's that someone. Someone's fault every fucking time, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when a dog got that little sad face on.
Damn straight. Well, they always have sad faces on. They're animals. They know what to do. That's like one of the favorite things that you can see on Reddit where people like post pictures of the animals that they had to get at the shelter because they went to a shelter. Like, that bad move. Don't window shop at a shelter. That's stupid.
Well, you saying don't get a dog or a pet?
Well, no. I'm not saying don't get a dog, period, but don't window shop. Like, you had no intention of buying anything going into a shelter, and then you came back with 10 cats.
Okay, I'm just asking because my daughter's... They've been begging for a kitten, a puppy.
Cats are free. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Just steal someone else's cat. Who cares?
Just eat some food out, and they're going to come to your house all day.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Well, you might get a pet raccoon instead, but still. Like, whatever comes to your door is like, oh, you guys got a possum. Close enough, guys.
Yeah, so they've been begging. I was just wondering for the shelter people and stuff, shelter dogs.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah, and it helps if you are there. Dealing with it, go to the PetSmart. They even like do all the necessaries for you. PetSmart, where it'll already be spayed or neutered or whatever. So those are always better. And then they actually interview you to make sure you're okay. Isn't that weird? Like,
hey,
we're taking away this animal from you. Why do you want this animal?
I've been craving Chinese food for a minute. So
burn, burn. We have no other Chinese places around here, so. That might do it. I'm going to guess that Zaxby's is going to have to cook the cats around here because that's the closest thing that we got. Opening Monday over at near my house.
Yeah, well, going to Corral, too. Don't forget about them.
Yeah, but they ain't open up yet anytime soon. And really, you'd have to, like, a cat would barely scratch the surface of what you can get at that place because there's, like, the buffet is, like, 50 miles long. How many cats is that? Way too many cats.
Well, we don't have a cat problem in Baton Rouge. You ever notice?
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah.
No, we have a problem. Cats are still around. Okay, so we're going to watch the first Pirates. We'll be back. Talk nothing about pirates.
Canon Films presents Walter Matthau in Roman Polanski's epic adventure about the most infamous, dreaded, and feared pirate of all time.
I am Thomas Bartholomew Red. Long live Captain Red!
He was the most daring buccaneer to sail the seven seas. A master of surprise. A genius at escape.
His rightful place is on the scaffold!
He had royalty for breakfast, nobles for lunch, and leftovers for dinner.
Would you not prefer the head?
They say he ransomed a royal princess.
We are something. Back, though. We just finished watching Pirates.
15 men on a day's main chest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
Keep going.
Drink and a devil head done for the rest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
Oh, he pulled up his phone.
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sorry to break the illusion, guys. Herman does not have that shit memorized. He should.
I did.
That's your high school alma mater, right? You guys were founded by pirates, right?
Kinda.
All right.
You know, well. I mean,
not Toros or Clovers, right? None of those. No. Why would anybody
be? I did read Treasure Island back in the day, and then I did, like, you know.
No. Whatever. All right. Well. So, this is a film. It looked like it was exclusively presented in other languages, although they spoke nothing but English. But it was funny to watch with the English subtitles because it was a different translation of whatever they were talking about. It's not to say that it was wrong. It just.
They spoke
It was
Polynes.
Another way of saying. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
It was really, I mean, this seemed like it seemed like a slash movie slash historical documentary. Like,
oh, dear Lord. You think that's what happened?
I mean.
No.
No.
No
okay.
way. No way.
Okay.
No.
I mean, it was pretty accurate language-wise.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how they spoke. It's one of those things that, yeah, sure. I mean, I wasn't around then. Why not? I guess you win. Yeah, I have no idea how you guys spoke.
Yeah,
you make sense. It is exactly as we described it. You have Walter Matthau, and you have his loyal assistant, and it's basically them going hunting for gold. They start off in a small little boat. They end up in a small little boat. It looks like kind of like a Pyrrhic victory at the end, where it's like, hey, some's a win, some's a lose. I guess you know, eh. So it's basically going through their adventures. It's weird because this whole thing's and maybe this is just normal. They treat it like it's a comedy. I think that just comes naturally when it comes to pirate films. You like,
yeah,
they just have to have that kind of weird whimsy sort of thing about them.
It's kind of like West. This is kind of like westerns. How you know they might throw a comedy under a western title.
Yeah,
you have bits and pieces of you know comedy in it, but
mm-hmm.
it's really more of an adventure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely made as an attempt as like an action adventure comedy. I don't think Roman Polanski can direct action at all. It seemed really slow during the action,
mm-hmm.
To his detriment at points. It just maybe it has a lot to do with Walter Matthau being pushing 50 something, and he was your main action star, and he's just kind of lounging about the whole time,
mm-hmm.
kind of like slinking about, and then they give him a disability, which makes it even worse because they give him with like one leg because you know that's what pirates do. They only have one leg.
Even though he did have a good short sword fighting scene, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
I noticed they said Timberlake a lot, and it never made to me. It was like Timberlake, almost like Timberlake. It's so close. You think that's where Justin got his last name from?
Yeah,
because he kept missing legs, and then it just got translated weird, and then he became an NSYNC. So it all works out. I don't know.
Yeah, Jesus. I was trying to tie Pirates into
I
don't
know.
But
I don't know.
Cry me a river, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Cry me a whole ocean full of treasures. Now, I'm not a big fan of the ocean. I never have been.
You don't like Billy Ocean?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I like it. I like when the going gets tough off of Jewel of the Nile, and that's about it.
Frank Ocean is all right, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad at least one body of water that is musically inclined has passed your judgment.
Okay.
I don't like the thought. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, when people put up graphs exactly how big oceans are and what actually is encompassing of these things, like how deep those things are. It's kind of scary how much stuff exists out there, like, underneath, and we barely... You know, scratch the surface. How everybody keeps talking about us going to the moon, man. We need to find out what's on this planet first before moving on, because it is freaky down there. Like,
yeah. I heard some animals down there that like I don't want to fuck with.
Right. So any film that usually you know fucks with the ocean, that always seems to like that's looming over my head the whole time. Is there something weird going on down there?
And on top of the ocean, you know there have actually been stories that people have found ghost ships. Like, they made a reference of a ghost ship at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
They still got ghost ships literally in the ocean today.
They've
been around for 50, 100 years.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. It's huge. And so Walter Matthau's just pretty cool with it. What's weird is to see like huge ships like in this one where it has people like of royal ilk just traveling around for no real reason. Oh, jeez. Everything about that just feels weird, man. I get seasick just thinking about stupid things like that. It's like, I don't have any part of wanting to be in the ocean that these people who are on death's door are just floating around like they might as well. Hey, shove another Ono up my ass, make me feel better. That'll make it, yeah, everything's all cool. all that stuff kind of bothers me. It also, this film was definitely a weird slice of life. It reminded me of watching when we saw It Runs in the Family, where yeah. you're watching an adventure. Nothing. That's me. I was hitting the table. I didn't mean to do any. The cat's not sneaking up on you.
No, so. I thought I was about to knock the mic over again. I was like, oh shit, because I'm like, I'm making a point not to touch the table at all. All
right, fine, fair enough. It kind of meanders. There's a lot of. I mean, it's fun if you want to see like some really cool wigs. Like they have some of the coolest wigs that you will ever see in a movie. Like those dudes that wore it, man, they were like long and they were pointy at certain points. And
well, I did think about the whole family thing because like one of the few, you know, Pirates movies you're gonna compare this to is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And also in that movie, you had the governor traveling with his daughter on a boat, you know, when they found the kid who became Orlando Bloom.
I'm gonna have to take your word for this.
I can't remember his name, but
I've seen it once and I don't remember a damn thing about it.
I don't know why back then. I guess they just travel on boats. Important figures like if I was an important figure on an island, like I'm governor of an island, I'm like, no, I'm stay right here.
Yeah, I'm good with this island. I'm the best thing on this island. Yeah. I don't have to go anywhere else. All right, I'm good. I mean, I guess if you feel like you want to like fight or whatever, that seems important. Like the fight's barely going to come to you, so you got to go to the fight if that's what you want to do. But these people are just kind of like still dressed as noblemen. Like nobody would dress like that if they were out in the sea. Like the way these noblemen are dressed. Yeah, like, there's nothing about it that seems like it's a good idea to be dressed like.
Want to be civilized instead of being comfortable.
Yeah.
Basically. Ugh. Oh, I'm better than you because I'm still wearing gross. This three-piece suit and it's 110 degrees out here.
Yeah, sorry if it feels like we're meandering, but really there is no plot to this thing. It just kind of moves on.
I could take a stab at the plot. The plot is these two guys starts off poor and desolate on a raft that's in the ocean. They get picked up by a ship. They're thrown into the barracks because the people don't know them. Like, we don't know the criminals or not. Let's just throw them in the barracks for right now. While in the barracks, they meet another prisoner, and he's telling them about they got a goal on the other side of the wall.
Right, right.
Which they looked through the peephole, and they found the gold throne.
Yeah, this is essentially the only thing that they're concerned with the entire movie.
So that's basically it. Like, the captain he's obsessed with this throne. He wants to get this throne throughout the whole movie, so he make a way to mutiny the boat that they own. They gain access to the boat, and they go to like a pirate's hideout on the island, and some kind of way the prisoners of the boat escapes. Take over the boat again, sails away with the bounty.
And yeah, there's like three or four double crosses in this, and it's like it's nauseating. It could have just been one or two.
Yeah, then the Captain Ray, he gets finds out where they at, goes to get the boat back, but he goes to get the drone back, but he fucks that up because they don't know how to, you know, didn't know to lay the chair down so they could go underneath the damn chain.
Right.
Instead, they put the chair on the chain and
stuck on the chain. A lot of this stuff isn't actually done practically. It's just like, what can we do out of comic effect? And that's a lot of it. And Walter Matthau's got his history about that sort of thing. But, man, I don't know if I just want to see him doing, like, pratfalls the whole time. He's not, like, one of these people that you gravitate towards, and maybe that's why this film isn't as successful as anything is out there.
When he first wrote the script in the 70s, it called for a $15 million budget.
It looked like there was a decent amount of budget,
when they finally got around to doing it, because at first he wanted Jack Nicholson in, and Jack Nicholson turned it down. And
that would have been awesome. And, I would have totally taken Jack Nicholson in that role.
And also for the Far role, they auditioned Rob Lowe and and somebody else, I can't remember, but the movie wound up costing $30 million, which majority of that money went to the boat. That boat was an extra life size replica, which they sell with the whole cast and crew dressed in pirate gear to the Cannes Film Festival. And it actually said at Cannes Film Festival for they sold it at 1986. It's set there to 2002.
Oh wow!
It now sits in a museum. Now you know
they just built a museum around it.
So basically, it cost $30 million to make. Mm-hmm. It made $1 million.
Oh wow!
Yes. So it was a big flop.
Yeah. Considering that most movies don't cost that much, like whenever that was released. But yeah, you could hear it in the soundtrack that they spent a lot of money on it. The clothing design was like it has a very unique look to it. Mm-hmm. In the same way that I think Cutthroat Island does. And maybe this was always the problem about making pirate films, because up till this point, was there a successful pirate film before Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes. Well, technically. Because I asked you this. They put Hook, I guess you could count it as a pirate film, a little bit, nah?
All right, fine, I guess.
And they also qualified Goonies, so I don't know if you want to qualify
when
Goonies.
You did, like, list the pirate films on there, they put... Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because yeah. They're getting...
So to answer your question, the last great pirate film, I guess, would be Treasure Islands, or you go way back to the Adventures of Errol Flynn.
Yeah, that's the problem. I you just don't see a lot of it. And when thinking of a title on this, I mean, this is Captain Red. Why isn't this called Captain Red? This is so mm-hmm. like, calling it pirates doesn't make any sense. This isn't like you're not getting a sample size of like all these different pirates that they run into. It's not pirates versus.
I'd have been cool with the Adventures of Captain Rig and Frog.
Yeah, that'd be. The Further Adventures of Captain Reg and Frog this Sunday. Listen on your phone and drink your Ovaltine. Ovaltine. Yeah, that's my attempt for a radio voice. That didn't quite work. So I'm very curious to see if I definitely haven't seen any foreign language pirate films, and this will be the first one that I've seen. The second one we're going to watch. This one's called The Pirates as opposed to Pirates, mm-hmm. and that's fine. I don't care for like if they just stuck a the in there, it's not a big deal. But yeah, I'm kind of curious on if that's going to be any better. It did have a decent rating. Past that, I didn't see what IMDb had to say about it. So
which one, the pirates that we just watched, or the one we're about to watch?
The one we're about to write. No, I saw the one that we watched. It feels like that one exists on nostalgia a lot. So
it do look timeless. Like if you did not know it came out in the '80s, it wouldn't surprise me if it came out in the '70s, eighties, or nineties.
Okay, so this one actually has a point to it as opposed to the one we watched. It's a band of pirates and a group of bandits fight to catch a gray whale that has swallowed a royal stamp.
Well, man, those royal stamps, bro, they worth millions.
Right, right. It's a MacGuffin. It's all you're looking for anyway.
What's a MacGuffin?
You never heard that term before?
No.
Are you just like
no? I'm not joshing you. I'm really haven't heard MacGuffin.
It's basically an object. It was coined by Alfred Hitchcock. It's an object in a movie that requires everybody's importance, even though it really doesn't matter. Like the object itself it's just a way to get people interested into or giving them a thing to go after. Like in all the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, it's always those Infinity Stones. Yeah. Those are the ones that are the MacGuffins. They it's just the object that people are going after. And then he's like, don't you want the stamp? Everybody wants the stamp. So, yeah, that's what everybody's going at. Like, okay. Or Golden Ticket and Willy Wonka, any of that stuff, that's MacGuffins. That's just a term that it started off with the Maltese Falcon, and it's just kind of stayed from there. That's all it's,
okay.
That's all it's meant to be. It's not anything complicated. I wasn't throwing any. It's just a term as a way to get people to, like, we're going to go after that object. And then you want to hear what that object is? So, yeah, in this one, it's going to be that stamp. It got a 6.6. It looks like it was a pretty big deal in every other place. But here...
Of course.
It was made in Korea.
Korea, boy, they just doing the same, huh? They just doing it over there, bro.
Yeah, I guess so. They have a decent... Like, the films that they make over there, they get decent budgets. It's not huge. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, the worst things in the world.
But is this the same guy that did The Good, The Bad, and...
No, I don't think so. Strange. All right. The Good, The Bad, and The Weird is the one you're talking about.
I say Strange, but
and
I guess
it looks like you have different writers, directors. Let me see what this guy has directed. It's Suk Hon Lee, and he is known for this film. And he is known for Dancing Queen, The Himalayas, and See You After School. That's what he's got 7 directing credits. And, so nothing you've heard of.
No.
Sorry. But Netflix has been awfully keen to throw a whole bunch of this stuff our way. Like, it's concentrating a lot on original programming, but man, you can get those overseas films pretty easily over here. Oh, and by the way, I was looking up other films that, like from 2017 right now, it's easy to see what everybody else in the world is watching right now if you just do 2017 in film for Box Office Mojo, like the worldwide gross. It actually pulls up a whole bunch of films that no one has ever heard of, and it's funny to look at the list. You know, Jackie Chan has a film right now called Kung Fu Yoga?
No, I did not know that.
Yes, he does, and it has made over $200 million in China.
Yeah, so why come over here?
Yeah, why even bother? If you can make $200 million over there, and yeah, it's not going to make any money over here.
And that's $200 million American dollars. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just being... That's not $200 million yen. That's
Well, it's Jackie Chan. People like him, yeah. So it's going to happen a lot. So the top film right now, well, it was Your Name. It has now changed.
Well, Herman was the top film?
No. I guess so, huh? No, it's just something called Your Name from Japan. It's okay. Made most, if not all, of its money in Japan. Its overseas revenue is 100%. Like, they didn't even bother releasing it here.
Yeah, why?
Xander Cage is right now the number one film.
Yes, which you did call that early on, was kind of opened my eyes to that, because Xander Cage kind of was a flop in America.
Right.
But it's making that money across seas. $300 million in China is still $300 million in the U.S.
Number two film, 50 Shades Darker.
Really?
It has made 68% of its revenue overseas.
Really?
Okay. Kung Fu Yoga is fourth. Then Journey to the West, Resident Evil, which has made 88% of its revenue overseas. Uh-huh. It has made $230 million, Resident Evil. That new Resident Evil film.
So it might not be the last Resident Evil.
I guess not. Lego Batman movie, Split, then something called Duckweed, never The Great Wall, John Wick, Buddies in India. Now here's the thing that... Getting down, there's Railroad Tigers, and after that, there's a movie called Some Like It Hot. That is...
Okay, so that could be on our list, huh?
I don't know if it doesn't give any plot to it on here. Its distributor is China, like it's made specifically in China.
Now, out of curiosity, if you could pull
it... Oh, God, no, it looks like it's a boy band.
Oh, well, no mind.
Oh, yeah, if it's a boy band, we're totally going to watch this.
I'm still looking for the Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen.
Oh yeah, the challenge. I haven't bothered.
Out of curiosity, what is the number one grossing film in America so far this year compared to
Split worldwide? Right now?
And it's not even in the top 10. You just named worldwide.
Yeah. It's Split, and maybe after this week, it's Lego Batman. Those are the top two right now, because we're not spending our money on anything right now.
No.
The top grossing film made $30 million this weekend. It's not like this is not our peak time. You're going to see when Beauty and the Beast comes out. They're already talking about possibly it having a $200 million weekend. Like, that's the film. Anything Disney puts out, that's the thing that's going to be number one.
I come from a different thing because I got kids, and like that's what they're going to beg for me to go – not for me to go see, but for me to bring them
hey,
to.
Hey, Daddy, can you go see that and tell us what it's like?
Yeah.
We know you don't take us to go see movies, Daddy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't afford to pay for all full tickets. So I'm like, all right, y'all, I'm going to go and see, and then I'm going to come back
and try to tape it. I don't know. Somebody might yell at me. So
I'm going to say, listen, man, they had this bad motherfucker called Gaston. You know, nobody didn't like his bitch ass, but... You know, he was trying to holler at Belle. Belle didn't really want to holler at him and stuff. So she went and go holler at your boy Beast. Beast was like, I got you, girl. I got you. You know, he ain't going to come over here. So Gaston went and got his group of people together with some fire and stuff. Because it's dark, you know. It wasn't like a mob or nothing. It's just dark out there. So, you know, he was like, yo, Belle, come on, girl. You know you want this. You know?
So here, Pirates made $400,000.
Wow.
Overseas made $32 million.
Okay,
that this is the film we're about to watch,
and that's
so
$32 million is decent. I mean, it's not. Yeah, it's decent. That's a decent take.
No, it's for what I don't know what it costs, but man, that's got to be pretty close to about what they expected for something like this. No. So, I'm trying to see what numbers. That doesn't make any sense at all. They said the foreign total is $32 million. It made in South Korea alone. It made $64 million. How does that add up?
Well, you never took trigonometry?
I guess not. Yeah, okay. I will.
Trigonometry.
Oh, yeah. It's all they're cooking the books.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to go watch the South Korea one, and then we'll be right back. And say hell yeah. Come on. Captain Jack. What? Johnny Depp. No. From the front to the back, say we count stacks. Come on. David Jones. Yes. Giant Square. Michael Bolton, we're really going to need you to hold us up. Hey, y'all. Oh, I feel better after watching that one. That Pirates movie was actually kind of fun. That was a from Korea. The South, of
the
course.
The new Hollywood of the world. Woot,
woot. South represents South Korea with their version of the Pirates film.
You know why I like South Korea so much?
Why do you like it?
Because it has soul.
Yes. Love that. I don't think I can recover from that at all. So this takes place 14th century Korea, and there is a royal seal being delivered, and of course something goes wrong. And you know, before I even finish what I say, you know exactly what I'm going to say. It's a whale swallowed it. And you're like, yeah, that's right. Whale swallowed that stupid seal. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of pirates figure this out. Like, hey, maybe we can get this seal. And they're like, all right, let's go do it. And you basically have two different factions dealing with their own problems. One group is led by a dude that used to be a part of the guard until a situation that made him fight his superior officer and took out his eye. Then you have the other one where it was a group of band of pirates where the subordinate had to fight her superior, and you find out that he's actually still alive. So it's like eventually becomes four different groups trying to go for this one whale the entire time.
The great treasure hunt.
You know what? It was fun. It was fun watching it because it was silly, but it was action-packed. I'm not going to say these films, and it's true, these films aren't that great CGI-wise. And you won't get that kind of quality that you do for Hollywood. But, man, if you're looking for high quality, why were you watching this film anyway? It's on Netflix, dude.
But isn't that? I mean, I'm starting to see a trend here. This is going to be like the second foreign film. Like, I'm not going to outright recommend it like I did with
No, I don't think it's Pantheon. I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than I did the other film.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you if I'll go watch it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's on Netflix, man. It's just a fun watch. It is over 2 hours long.
Yes. Yes.
It's still good. I see this as probably like one of their big epics that they had over here. It's one of those things that you feel like us ugly Americans can never get watch other countries because you have to sit there and watch read with the subtitles. But man, that was a fun film. So high recommendations all around on the second Pirates film. And unfortunately, we enjoyed it so much that none of us really have a operative title that we got other than the seal of approval or some sort of seal. Wet seal? You want to call it wet seal? Like
the royal seal?
Yeah, so...
the hunt for the royal seal.
Stamp out your enemies, or some sort of royal
the
pun.
The hunt for raid.
The hunt for the red seal?
Yeah.
That was made in October, so it makes... You know, I enjoy watching those films, and you realize when you see a title like that there's no way we're ever going to watch a film with such an oblong title. Like, I watched one... This week, I mean, I felt safe watching it because there's no way no one else is going to come up with a title. But it's let me get the exact title down because it is a mouthful. It just came out on Watch Instant. And it's got Elijah Woods in it, and it also Elijah Wood, excuse me. And
no, it's okay, Robert. You know what you just say though. You say it's a mouthful, and it got Elijah Wood in it. So I'm just pointing that out.
Elijah Wood.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. So it's called I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. Like, there's no way any other film's going to come out with that title. So you watch it, which I actually liked and enjoyed. But I am a cynical bastard. I don't know if that's going to be like a thorough recommendation. I don't know if anybody else will enjoy it for that reason. It's basically just people being cynical in that film. But it does have some cool moments in it. And it's directed by the guy that was in both Blue Ruin and Green Room. So yeah, I mean, they had it at Sundance this year. And it was a really good film. So, but yeah, Netflix is just... it's just a matter of finding these movies because Netflix makes you hunt for this shit. It's not easy to find the best stuff, and I don't know like a good method to actually go out and watch any of the like to find out what exactly recommends, because man, more often than not, Netflix will recommend me a movie that is a star or less, and because you were watching this, or you want an action adventure, we're gonna give you the shittiest action adventure we got, and put it at the top, and like, then realize, oh yeah, we weren't supposed to recommend that kind of movie. Oh well. Anyway, would you agree that this Pirates film was actually pretty good?
Yes, it was pretty good. I was going to joke.
Yep, yep, great. There we go.
Yeah, I was going
to
joke.
Seal of approval. Don't have to bother with that anymore.
Like, probably the best Pirates name out there for a movie is the XXX version of Pirates, which basically was a spoof of Pirates of the Caribbean, so I guess that doesn't count. But that made a lot of money also as far as DVD sales.
I will tell you, for the longest time, I just thought the main dude was a chick with where they put a fake beard on her.
Okay.
He has some very feminine qualities about him. And the beard does not look real. But I can tell you, it's that weird sort of Korean beard where it doesn't feel like it grows in all the way. It only gives you that mustache and goatee area.
Yeah.
So you kind of grow it out a little bit, give it a little Fu Manchu look. And that's about what you see out of that bunch. But they have the haircuts that they have for it are also incredibly feminine. That's why when I saw it, it just looked like a chick with the beard. That's all kind of looked like the whole time when I was looking at him. That's all.
So for our show, I think the South
Korean... Oh, yeah, we got to do something for this show. Yes.
South Korean Pirates should kick the title, and I think Roman Polanski Pirates, you deserve a different name.
Yeah, yeah. I like the adventures of Captain Red and his fellow captain mate or mate Frog, except they kept calling it Toad.
Yeah.
That was weird in the subtitles. Yeah, the
bad news frog. Yeah.
Toad and the Wet Captain is what we're calling this.
Grumpy old captain.
Yeah, grumpier old captain.
Because he was grumpy in this damn movie.
Well, if you know Walter Matthau, that dude is just full of grumps. That guy is—he's always got that puppy dog face on him, like I don't know if I should be doing this sort of thing. I meant to mention this earlier. One film that you probably would like that he was in. I don't know if you've ever seen the original Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
No, I haven't.
But I highly recommend it because it is a nice slice of 1970s life. It is one of the podcasts that you've listened to, the Flophouse, the one of the guys on it that he says is like that's his favorite movie of all time. Okay. Is Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
So he didn't like the remake, I'm guessing.
No, I don't think he did. It is a little different. I think it has everything to do with John Travolta.
Yeah,
that guy is a silly man when he wants to be. So
you had Denzel and James Gandolfini, rest in peace. They did solid roles in the remake,
mm-hmm.
But I like John Travolta. But even I had to say it was like, John, you should not have been in this damn movie.
When you had your personal powwow with John Travolta, why didn't you tell him this?
Well, you know, he was tripping and stuff. You know, he was on his Scientology kick.
Yeah. When you were on your little Scientology meeting, have you watched any of this stuff recently about that one girl that was on King of Queens?
Leanne Rimes, whatever her name is.
It ain't Leanne Rimes, that's for sure.
Leanne Rimes.
Yeah. She mentions that John Travolta has a pass to kill as many people as he wants. Like he was given permission by L. Ron Hubbard as a guy that is allowed to off people for whatever reason.
Yeah, she said that between Tom Cruise really, but say Tom Cruise and John Travolta is like the highest ranking, you know, people in the church.
Yeah, they're the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pittman of Scientology, as anybody has ever said, mm-hmm. And Beck is the Dennis Rodman, I'm sure. Or Will Smith? Would you say Will Smith is the Dennis Rodman?
That's the thing. I don't think he embraces like those guys. Those guys wear it on the sleeve. You have to almost remember, like, oh yeah, Will Smith is Scientology. Like, you got to remind yourself.
I have to remind myself every morning, like that's like a memento tattoo on my chest.
You don't get the text message alert?
It says Will Smith is a Scientologist across it.
Yeah,
so
you don't get
that
text message alert.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. That's true.
But I was also
and to a lesser extent, Jaden and Willow and Jada Pinkett. Oh, they had an ad for a movie in front of Get Out with Jada Pinkett Smith where she's in a road movie with...
Oh, the trip to New Orleans?
Yeah. Girls Trip?
Girls Trip, yeah.
Girl Trip, I think.
It seemed kind of runchy a little bit. I mean...
Oh, yeah. They're trying to go for a hangover vibe.
They show you the clip where they were trying to zip line.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm going to bring that up. I'm from New Orleans. How come... I'm like...
That doesn't happen. That's not a thing.
I'm like, where is this shit coming from? I'm like... That should never happen all the time. I was going up ziplining over Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, you don't do that.
No.
That's only done by drunk people with a towel. They don't actually have actual equipment they're just like, I need to get to crystals quicker. So they just flap the towel, and they're just going. And then they're humming the whole Indiana Jones theme in their mind. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da, as they're running out. And really, by towel, I just mean like their bra. That's all they're trying to do. Yeah,
basically. So Queen Latifah will have a lot of space on her bra, you know.
That's true.
Brazil.
Her oh, you're it's not even a bra with Queen Latifah. It's a brassiere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
She still. She is of the people that you know, like say that they've never aged. I think Queen Latifah falls in that category because she always looked like she was in her mid 30s whenever like she broke out onto the scene.
I give you that
because
Jada Pinkett, she in this movie, the trailer I didn't see, it looked like she didn't age.
Yeah.
I mean, she still looked good body wise, but face wise to me, you could tell she's all but 50. Yeah.
Well, Herman's got to change his spank bank. Sorry. Sorry, Jada Pinkett Smith. You're down in the minors. Moving up, Queen Latifah. Time to get up into the majors.
Yeah, you think I got a chance with Queen Latifah?
I think, well, considering she's a lesbian, I would say a lot of chances.
Yeah.
So, like, you've never been with a man until you've been with Omega Prime.
There you go.
That's all you have to do.
I record everything.
All right, so I think we've basically set our piece. Don't watch the Roman Polanski one, and we're definitely changing the title. Watch the one that's on Netflix right now.
Watch the real Pirates. That's the one. The Roman Polanski, your name is now...
The Adventures of Captain Red and his best friend, Frog.
Yeah.
Or his best mate, Frog.
Also subtitled, The Odd Couple of the Sea.
The Odd Couple of the Sea, sure. For another There Could Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rowe.
Herman Omega Perron Davis.
That's everybody.
So, what's been going on? Did you go see Get Out
yesterday? I have. I saw 5 movies yesterday.
What?
Well, that's going to be common course. Like in a couple weeks, I'm going to South by Southwest, and that'll pretty much be every day. Two of them in theaters, 3 of them at home. So it wasn't I was like out theaters the whole time.
I joked with you and Brian about being out that late, mm-hmm. but the next day I slept all day. I woke up around 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Messed around for like an hour and went right back to sleep and slept to like 6-7 that evening.
Right.
So I didn't even go to Spanish Town, but so you seen Get Out?
Yeah, I saw Get Out. Mm-hmm. I saw it at 10 o'clock at the mall, which I figure is the best time to see it opening weekend any sort of horror film.
Yeah.
It's not exactly what you'd expect it to be. And I mean this is tough because it's getting 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
you get a certain expectation for any film that goes that high. It really should be around an 80%.
Okay.
Like that, if it was at 80%, I don't think anybody would hate this movie. The fact
movie.
That it's 100%, yeah, it's good. It has first movie jitter problems that you have. It's a bit long. It has a little too many jump scares, and once everything starts working itself out, if you start thinking about what happened before, it kind of doesn't make a little sense. But hey, whatever, it's a horror film. Those things usually don't make sense anyway. But for people to be gushing over this is like, oh, this is a textbook case in explaining racism in America. I'm like, I don't need to be seeing any of that stuff. It knew when it needed to have some humor in it. It knew when it needed to be scary. Like it was, it tried to draw that line of being like one of those 70s, 80s horror films where it was all substance, but then throw in some lines where they know they got to get people laughing about this. So it was a nice mix of those things. Like it's gonna do well. It made $30 million this week, and nothing else was close. They had like Rock Dog that came out and made like $3 million, and then Collide, which just got shoved in whenever they felt like putting it in. I think I made like $1.5 million. That's it.
I mean, well, so Get Out is successful already because it probably cost them, what, $10 million to make?
Yeah, those things don't cost anything at all. That's basically what Blumhouse has done. Mm-hmm. They're the same people that put out Split. So they had a film already come out this year. That's the number one film probably until this weekend because of Batman. Like, that one's probably the Lego Batman. I think that pretty much took it over. But that only cost like $10 million. So you have Get Out, which probably costs even less because it doesn't have anybody of note. It has recognizable faces. I mean, people know who Catherine Keener is. It has Steven Root, who's not in the trailer.
And if you watch Black Mirror, the protagonist, you should know him from the...
Oh, he's in Sicario, dude. You don't have to go with Black Mirror.
Oh, I haven't watched Sicario yet. I need to watch that. I heard it's good.
Yeah, he's Emily Blunt's partner.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he's been in a few things. It's not like he's completely void of stuff, but it's not anybody that you have to pay a lot of money to be in a movie. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Like, that's the model that they're doing. They can make 100 of these things, because they had another trailer for one of the other ones that's coming out called the Belko Experiment.
Yeah.
That thing's going to look like a piece of shit out in theaters. Like, I understand.
But it's going to make money, because I'm interested just to see it.
They're selling this on... This was a script by James Gunn, but man, does this look dumb. Everything about it just doesn't look like it's going to be any fun. But like I said, what? 5-10 million for each one of these things? Who cares?
The last movie I seen, I seen two movies last week.
Uh-huh.
One was... but I can't remember what it was. It was something that wasn't IMAX 2D.
50 Shades Darker. Yeah. Okay.
Nah, that wasn't it. I'll think about it later. But the one that I walked out on, because I was already...
The one where it said Get Out. It's like, all right, fine, I'll leave. I take these titles seriously.
Nah, Fist Fight. I'm not saying that Fist Fight is a bad movie. Maybe I just wasn't feeling good that day or whatnot. But
okay.
It wasn't worth for me to just stick around and watch it to the end, because it was just... It was kind of stupid.
No, I don't. I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
I understand the appeal. Like, it's a comedy. There's no other comedies out there right now. So it's definitely something to watch where you feel like, I don't have to take it too seriously. But it's one of those comedies where, you know, they're basing it off of how comedies are filmed now, where it has a very loose script, and they let all the small players just kind of say whatever the fuck they want and hope it works into the scene.
Without watching Belko Experiment yet, I would think that'd be better than Fist Fight. What was the other four movies you went and checked out?
All right, the other one in theaters I saw was Great Wall.
All right,
that's the one with Matt Damon. That thing was pretty good.
Okay,
I thought it was better than Hero. Like, after watching Hero again, I enjoyed it a lot more. And then I Don't Want to Live on This Earth Anymore. I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane again. That's one I had. And I saw Hard Target 2, which is on Netflix, starring Scott Atkins. And
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's stupid. But it was on. I was like, I might as well watch
this. That was the other movie I think that did, The Wall, The Great Wall.
Yeah.
Which, me and you had this conversation before about how the international box market is taking over in domestic. I was listening to a sports radio show, so he's not into movies, like, talking about it.
Yeah.
He was just saying, like, how much of a failure that The Great Wall was. It's a flop. But I looked up on the international, it made, like, $300 million so far.
Yep,
like,
all in China. Yeah.
That is not a flop.
No. Well, it's a flop over here, and that's all that people take into consideration. But, no, I thought it was okay. Afterwards, it was like, I can see why people skipped it. Like, it's not the greatest film.
Nah, it was straightforward.
I have no idea what accent Matt Damon was doing, because it almost sounded like an Irish lilt at times, or it was kind of talking like this. Like, he felt like he had to put something on. Get talking a Boston accent, that'd be great. Yeah. Man, these monsters are wicked hard. I'm going to shoot this arrow in you, Hosa. Choo, choo, choo. Okay, let's go. We got 6 minutes of shit that we just now need to cover up.
It happens.